All right. Well, praise the Lord. Good to be back here this evening. Welcome those of us that are here and those of us that are online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Get All Excited. Is it good? Did I miss something? Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Church of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O Church of God, His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and in the night of wrong. Rise up, O sons of God, the Church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As followers of the Son of Man, rise up, O Church of God. Amen. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? Oh, yeah, anybody can have one. 353? All right, Victory in Jesus. Okay, yeah, we can sing that one next. You might have to remind me, though. 353? Okay, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Which one was yours? Oh, there was another one over here. I missed it. 4:30? Okay. 4:30, there shall be showers of blessing.
Amen. Of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. Any more? One more? Uno mas? No mas? No takers? Okay, praise the Lord.
Which one?
Sunshine of My Soul. Yeah, we know that one.
Yeah, I'll sing it.
Oh, okay. Oh, we can sing it now. Yeah, sure.
747. Like an airplane. Sing it big like an airplane. Jumbo jet. 747.
All right, a big 747. Sunshine in my soul.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King, and Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and love and praise, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys in future days. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Amen.
Well, hopefully you got you singing in. Amen? That's a bunch of pick of hymns. All right, next week will be, is it Labor Day? All right, so it won't be Sunday night next Sunday night. We'll have our Sunday morning message, and then we'll have our end of summer hot dog bash immediately after the service. I guess you're going to get that grill ready before the service is out?
Yes.
Okay, so you and Gene are going to do it? All right. Y'all going to charcoal it or propane it?
Mostly propane.
Propane, okay. All right, very good. Propane and propane accessories. All right, amen, very good. So that's what's going on next Sunday. So we got the end of summer bash coming, and then no Sunday evening service next Sunday, and then no men's and women's Bible study next Monday night. Is that correct? All right, no. Pardon?
Be on the 12th.
Be on the 12th. Okay, very good. All right, all right. Well, let's have some praises tonight. We got any praises in the house? Brother Ron's got a praise.
I just want to thank God for Awanas. The teachers that we had did an awesome job. And we had, about 15 kids there.
Looked like
the
a good
opening
group.
Night.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, and it'll grow from there. You'll end up with about 30, I bet, before Thanksgiving gets here. That's great, Brother Ron. All right, any other praises? One in the back. All right. Vince has got a praise.
I was just going to throw it.
Hey, is it on?
It's on.
Hey, I just want to give a praise from Terry about she went to church over there with one of the churches, and she said the preacher was talking about salvation and everything, and he showed a picture of the Ukrainian flag and said a lot of people see this as freedom.
Yeah.
But then he showed a picture of a patch that come off a soldier's uniform covered in blood and everything. And he said, this is the only way for true freedom.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And then he turned right around and said, and in your personal life, blood is the only way for true freedom.
Yes.
The blood of Christ.
Amen.
And so she said she was just in tears. They had a young couple that came to know the Lord that morning, parents of, I think, two or three little kids that got saved that morning. And, you know, it's while the country where she's at is unaffected by war so far, the country is being torn apart by war, and God is still moving. God gives hope.
Yes,
you know, there's still hope no matter what's going on. So,
yes,
y'all just praise that she's loving her job over there, loving the ministry and everything, and just continue to pray for her.
Yes. All right, any other praises? Yes, ma'am.
I want to praise God for all of his answered prayers.
Amen. All right.
You know, talking about Terry, we didn't even miss Terry. She was in Sunday school class this morning, all the way from Ukraine. She was on the phone. That was really a blessing. And she shared that same thing that Vince was talking about.
Amen.
With us this morning, and it was a blessing.
Amen, brother.
Praise the Lord for that.
All right. Anybody else?
Oh, I got one on praise the Lord. Kevin, my son, he's been going to church. She went to church this morning and took his children.
Amen.
Him and the children
went
to church. So, hey,
that's
praise
a great
the Lord.
Praise, man.
Thank the Lord for that. That's a blessing.
Amen.
You got one?
Anybody else? You got praise?
One? You got one?
What? Oh, praise. Praise? Pray?
Praise.
I have a praise. We had a blessing Saturday when I went for a motorcycle ride. My chapter had a ride Saturday because we missed our one from Saturday before. And we always pray before we leave.
Yeah.
And we met at Magnolia Diner.
Uh-huh.
And Everybody's out at their motorcycles. We had some other motorcycle riders come up, so we did bike blessings for them. And then everybody was kind of scattering, going to their motorcycles. I said, hey, wait a minute. We hadn't prayed before we leave yet. So everybody said, oh, yeah. So we all gathered up in a little huddle, and we all prayed, you know, bless her, you know, the ride. Well, on the way up there, our captain was the roadmaster, road leader, captain.
Right.
And I guess he forgot where we were going.
Uh-oh.
Because we go around curves, and he'll speed up, and so we all speed up and catch up with him. Well, we came around this one curve, and so he sped up. I sped up behind him. One guy was behind me, sped up, and all of a sudden he realized, oh, there's the place I'm going to. He locks his brakes up, and I lock my brakes up. And the guy behind me, I look in my mirror, and I see him going back and forth like this. So I nail mine to get out of his way, to give him room. That's the only thing that saved him. So wow. We had a blessing there that the Lord was with us right then. And right after we got everything settled back down, we all gathered together again and prayed again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That amen. The sign of the mirror says object or closer in the mirror. He was really close.
There you go. Thank you. Amen, man. All right. Prayer requests.
Anybody. All right. We got one over here. Oops. All right. Here you go, girl.
I'd like to pray for my brother Chris and his wife Carol. They have a pretty, well, they have COVID, and Carol has a more serious case of it. So I've been on the phone with them this afternoon and trying to talk them through it. And anyway, pray for their recovery. Also, I'd like to pray for Carolyn Docker, or we call her Sue Docker. That's Robert's mom, for her salvation.
Okay. Sue Docker's salvation. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? We'll be in prayer for Sandra Capps. That detached retina. Detached retina. And then Nancy Cuero. With her COVID. And then Jackie McBride sick. What else?
I would like to pray for Trisha, my niece. She starts this week back in nursing school.
Okay.
And she's a single mom with three boys. And actually, one of the boys was out all this week with foot and mouth hand disease.
Yes.
Had it in his mouth. Had it real bad. But he is getting better, because on the way to church, they were all outside playing in the water. So he is getting better. But besides all this monkeypox and COVID, there's foot and mouth and hand. And
yeah, there's still all that going on, too, isn't there?
Yeah. Where do you get that from?
Starting back to nursing school. All right. What else? Yes, sir, in the back.
Still praying for Seuss, Lori's friend and my friend, too. But, she worked with him. Just for his health to keep healing up and to find a better job and to come to know the Lord.
All right.
And I got one more, too.
All right, sir.
Pray for my neighbors. I was outside some days ago. I don't know when. It might have been yesterday, actually. But anyways, they just said, in general, please keep us in your prayers.
All right.
So I just wanted to, just, you know, for God's guidance for their life, that they'd come to know him, and you know, that'll be really good.
Amen. All right. Very good. What else? Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Pray for Ronnie and his kidney stones.
Yes.
Right. And pray for Gene. He has a bladder cancer, maybe. I'm not sure, but he has something in his bladder. He's bleeding
Uh-oh.
But yeah, so Gene is not doing well. And
so what are we calling it? Is it cancer? Or?
He had cancer before, but...
Uh-oh.
He had cancer before. It's remission. Now he thinks it's the same symptoms that he has, so he thinks it's coming back.
Okay.
So we're going to lift him up.
All right.
And Unspoken and our shut-ins...
Spokens, shut-ins. What else? What else? Is that it? All right. Very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, shall we? Amen, amen. Let me get a drink of water here. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we praise you and thank you that we can gather in your name and be together as your church tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather around your word. We can gather around the fact that we're saved. We can gather around this music and sing praises to you, Lord, and just worship you tonight. We thank you for that opportunity, for the blessing that is to us as we seek to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, we lift these praises up to you. We lift up the Awanas program, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for all the teachers, the volunteers. We're thankful for the kids. We praise you for them. And Lord, we pray you might grow the Awana program over the next weeks and months as we get into the holidays here, Lord, after school starts. And Father God, we just pray by the time we get to Thanksgiving and shut it down for a while that we got a good group of kids coming. Pray you might double it, Lord, and maybe even triple it. So God, we just put that in your hands. We praise you and thank you for the teachers. And Lord, we pray you just undergird them and help them at this semester of Awanas. We lift up Vince's praise, which is Terry's praise, which, Lord, she's loving her ministry over there and loving that Samaritan's Purse job over there, Lord, in Ukraine. We just pray you protect her, watch over. Thank you for the testimony that was shared about the blood of Christ brings true freedom. And we all know that tonight, and that's just encouragement to hear that from halfway around the world. So, Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you for all answered prayers, Lord. We lift many things up to you. And, Lord, it's great when we can look back on our lives and see how you've answered these things and brought us through difficult times. And so we praise you for answered prayer. We praise you tonight for Kevin leading his family to church, Lord, and pray that you would bless him in that and encourage him in that, Lord, and just help him get into the habit of that. We thank you for James's leadership in Kevin's life, and Lord, we pray that just take hold in Kevin, and he'd continue on with leading that family to church. We lift up Bobby's praise for safety on the motorcycles, Lord, and pray you continue to watch over them when they get out and ride. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we lift up Chris and Carol to you. Pray for their COVID recovery. Pray that you might touch their bodies and help them, Lord, shed the virus and get through this and get back on a pathway of health. We lift up Sue Dockers to you tonight. We pray for her salvation. I pray, God, you might bring her to a point in her life where she realizes that she's lost in need of a Savior. And then, Lord, you provide the person or the persons or the radio program or the video, whatever it may be, Lord, to sow those seeds of the gospel in her heart. And that, Lord, before too long, she's ready to obey and submit and receive you as personal Savior and Lord. We lift up Sandra Capps to you tonight. Lord, as we prayed this morning with this detached retina in her eye, we pray you bring this retina all back together. And Lord, see her through this and that thing would heal back up. She wouldn't lose sight in that eye, Lord. So we lift Sandra up to you tonight. We continue to pray for Nancy Cuero and her recovery of the COVID. And Lord, we pray that she just begin to test negative and that she wouldn't continue on with the symptoms. And Lord, you would just touch her. Lift up Jackie McBride to you, Lord. We don't know exactly what she's got, but we know she's sick. And so, Lord, we pray you touch her body, bring healing to Jackie. And Lord, just see her through, help her get back to school up here and to teaching. And then, Lord, we lift up Tricia to you, starting back nursing school. We pray that you'd help her with her studies. Help her finish her school, Lord. Be with her kids. We pray for their health. Watch over them as she's a single mom and just trying to do it all. So, Lord, we pray you protect that home. We lift up Zeus to you, Lord, and we pray for his health. We pray you might help him, Lord, find better employment. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for Zeus's salvation, that you might touch him, convict him, that he's a sinner in need of salvation, Lord, and you would put those person or persons or whatever mode of getting the gospel to Zeus, Lord. We pray that that would happen soon before it is eternally too late. We pray for Jeremiah's neighbors, Lord. We pray that they would be guided and leaded and led in whatever endeavor they're needing prayer for. We continue to pray for Brother Ronnie and his kidney stone. Lord, we pray this thing would pass, and Lord, you would just get out of his body, bring relief to that part of his body, Lord. So we lift him up, continue to pray for him. We lift up Gene to you tonight, Lord, in this perhaps a recurrence of bladder cancer. We pray that you might touch his body and bring healing to him, Lord, and that he not have to go through any kind of cancer treatment there. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for his bladder situation and cancer as well. Pray for Nancy. Pray for Shane. Pray for all of them, Lord. Watch over them as they struggle with the same kinds of issues. The unspokens tonight, Lord, thank you that you hear us, that we can voice them up to you silently, Lord, and you're a sovereign God, and you're for us and not against us. And so, Lord, we praise you and we love you tonight, that you're in control and we're not, and it's your timetable and not ours. But Lord, give us the faith, help us trust, help us lean into you and lean on to you as we think about these unspoken requests. And then, Lord, our shut-ins, we're so thankful for the live stream. We pray that it's a blessing to them and a ministry to them. And, Father God, we pray that as we come to them each and every service, that they are touched in their hearts and encouraged in their souls. And so, Lord, we're just thankful that they continue to partner with us as they watch online. Be with them. Keep them safe. Help them as they want to be here but are able to be with us via the live stream. Lord, we thank you tonight again for your word as we get back in it. And we pray our hearts and minds will be attuned to receive it. It's in your name we pray and God's people said. Amen. All right. If you'll take a copy of God's word, we're in Revelation chapter 22. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy Inerrant Word of God. It begins in verse 13. All right, 22:13. We'll take it all the way to the end. 22:13. Those of you with us online, good to have you there. 22, beginning in verse 13 through 21. You found it? Amen, amen. Amen. Word of God reads, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. And may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, last time we were talking, we were dealing with the last invitation. That was verse 17, and we went through that extensively. And then we said the great gracious motivator, the great gracious and merciful motivator, Jesus Christ, He gives incentives to salvation. He tries to help you out. He tries to see you through. He tries to get you to that point of making a decision for Him. And we said those incentives are found in verses 13 through 16 and verses 18 through 21, right? And so surrounding that invitation in verse 17, we said our four incentives for sinners to accept His salvation. The first one we began last Wednesday night, and that was basically the person of Jesus. I mean, why would you not want to get saved when there's Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus is a great incentive. Because of the person of Christ, right? The great gracious motivator gives incentives. He gives himself because of the person of Christ. Verse 13 says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Notice the three titles he gives himself. Jump down to verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Okay, so basically, what is that, five titles? Three titles about being first and last, and then another couple of titles there. The root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Yeah, it's quite a bit in there. Amen. All right. So we began covering that. We said, so basically we have all three of these titles, which I just mentioned, which can apply only to God and are used here of Jesus Christ, which offers convincing testimony of Jesus's what? Of his deity, right? We said he's not a created being. He's not merely a great prophet. He's not just a great moral teacher. He is not some misguided martyr. He is God, the Son, the second person of the eternal Trinity. That's kind of where we were finishing up last Wednesday night. We said salvation in Jesus Christ, because of that, is the what? The theme of Scripture. And we basically ended with this right here. We said in the Old Testament, the ark in which Noah and his family were saved from in the flood. The Passover lamb, we mentioned that. The kinsman redeemer, we mentioned that. We said they're all pictures of who? They're all pictures of Jesus. They're all pictures of Christ and what he offers lost humanity. Jesus offers salvation. Amen? Well, as we begin afresh tonight, in addition, Christ fulfilled, are you ready for this, more than 300 Old Testament prophecies at his first advent, at his first coming. He is the focus of the New Testament as well. I mean, it'd be pretty hard for you to miss Jesus if you started in Matthew and read all the way through Revelation. You said, who's Jesus? That'd be on you, not on the book. Amen? I'm telling you, he is the theme, he is the central focus, Christ is, of the New Testament. The Gospels record his life and ministry, and the rest of the New Testament expounds on the Gospels, on their doctrinal and practical implications. That's how the New Testament kind of runs together. To be saved is to be saved by Christ. To be a Christian is to be in Christ. To have forgiveness is to be forgiven by Christ. To have hope is to hope in Christ. In short, for the Christian, to live is Christ. Amen? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Further, Christ further identifies himself in his own words in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things. For the churches, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star, right? Christ further identifies himself with his own words there in verse 16. But before doing so, he tells John, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you. Now, though angels communicated the apocalypse to John, we know that. We can go back to 22, verse 6. We know that. We can go to chapter 1, verse 1. We know that. We can go to Revelation 17, verse 1. We know that. We can go to 17, 7. We know that. We can go to 21, 9. Angels have a huge part in the giving of the apocalypse, right? But its ultimate source was Jesus, right? The expression here, I would underline this in my Bible. I mean, if I were you, I would just underline it. I, Jesus. That's the only place that happens in the whole Bible. Where he says, I, and then his name. I, Jesus, right? I, Jesus. This expression, I, Jesus, appears only in this one verse in all of the Bible. What's the point of that, Pastor? What do you think the point is of that? I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what the commentary said. I'll tell you what I studied on it. It establishes that this is the final invitation in Scripture. It's not a human invitation. It is a divine call issued personally to sinners by the Lord Jesus Christ. I, Jesus, he's saying, friend, he's saying, he's telling you, it's time to come home, time to repent, time to turn over a new leaf, time to seek forgiveness, time to obey the gospel. I, Jesus, right? Now, the apocalypse is addressed to the churches in chapter 1, verse 11. But though it is written, and though it is written to believers, we know that from 1:1, Revelation 1:1, we as believers are to proclaim the message of it to the entire world. May I remind you of 22:10? And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." Well, if you're not sealing it up, what are you doing with it? Yeah. You're preaching it. You're teaching it. You're telling it. You're communicating it, right? Amen? All right. Then in an astounding, and we talked about paradox this morning, in an astounding, seemingly paradoxical statement, Jesus addressed himself to be both the root or the ancestor and then the descendant of David at the same time. You see that in verse 16? I'm the root, ancestor, and the descendant of David. Wow, what's going on here? Well, you know what's going on here, right? There's two halves to Jesus' existence. He's all God, he's all man. Well, preacher, where does one end and one begin? I don't know. Let's ask him one day. Jesus, where did your humanity end and your deity begin? I'm sure he'd be glad to tell us one day, right? When we've got the mind to comprehend it, where his humanity ended and where his deity began. But we just take that on faith here, amen? We just take it on faith. The phrase sums up the biblical teaching on Jesus' two natures, on Christ's two natures. Only the God-man can be both David's ancestor and his descendant. In his deity, Christ is David's root. And in his humanity, he is David's descendant. And friend, you can go throughout the Old Testament and flesh that out to be true. Amen? Finally, Jesus describes himself as the bright morning star. The bright morning star. To call somebody a star, now don't we have a place, it's the Walk of Fame that everybody gets? Hollywood. Is that called the Walk of Fame? Is it called the Walk of Fame? Am I getting that right? Say again. Walk of Shame. Well, the the walk. Hey, well, it's not fame. It's actually shame, right? Well, you're stealing my thunder, man. Because the point of what I'm trying to make, to call somebody a star was in biblical times as it is today to exalt him, right? Now we certainly exalt these people on the Walk of Shame way too much. Do they put their handprints in there? Or is that something else I'm thinking about? Is okay. So it's not the same spot. Okay. But they do put their handprints. Yeah. All right. That's different from the Walk of okay, cool. Yeah. So we kind of venerate these people probably a little bit too much, but we're not overdoing it when we call Jesus a star. Amen? And the Bible's not overdoing it either when it refers to him as the bright morning star. In extra-biblical Jewish writings, the coming Messiah was called a star. If we go back and study the book of Numbers through Balaam, remember Balaam? He was that greedy prophet for hire. But God nevertheless used him. God used a crooked stick to knock a straight lick. He used him to make an accurate prediction of the coming Messiah in Numbers 24:17. Numbers 24:17 says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. And shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheth," which is another word for Seth. All right. Peter wrote of the time in 2 Peter 1:19 when he writes, "The day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." Amen. For those of us that have been saved, praise the Lord for that. Jesus promised to give the overcomers at Thyatira. In the very beginning, chapter 2 of Revelation 2:28, he promised to give them the morning star, meaning himself. Amen? So as the morning star heralds the arrival of the day, so Jesus' coming will herald the end of the darkness of humanity's night and the glorious dawn of his kingdom. The first motivation or incentive that Christ gives sinners to repent and be saved is none other than himself. The Bible communicates that Christ is the light of the world, per John 8:12, who calls sinners to drink of the water of life. And to those who accurately obey that call, he promises that we can come to him who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. Matthew 11:28. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. John 6:37. Isn't that a good feeling to have? You ain't going to be cast out. You come to me, I'll certainly not cast you out. Praise the Lord. John 6:37. Now, last invitation. That was 17. We said the great gracious or the great gracious and merciful motivator. He also gives incentives. That first incentive is himself because of the person of Christ. But secondly, our second incentive is because of the exclusivity of heaven. The exclusivity. You got to be blood washed to get in that place. You got to have on a white robe. You got to be cleaned up. You got to have a glorified body. Verses 14 and 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Notice what says verse 15. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Now, this section begins with the last of the seven of the Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. Blessed. 14. There it is. 22:14. Almost missed it. 22:14. Let me put my finger on that so I don't miss it. That is the last beatitude out of the seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation. All right? We had one in verse 7. We had one in chapter 1:3. We had one in 14:13. We had another blessed in 16:15, 19:9, and then in 20, verse 6. And then again in 22:7 that I've already mentioned. And then this one here in verse 14. And behold, I'm coming quickly. Verse 7 says, "And behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." Okay, we all square on the blessed. This is the last one, all right? The last one, each introduced by the pronouncement blessed. This blessing is pronounced most likely by the Lord Jesus Christ on those who wash their robes. In verse 15, that phrase graphically portrays the unbelievers, right? And what did the unbelievers do to Christ? What did they do to him? What did those Jewish Pharisees and Sanhedrin folks do to Christ? Yeah, they crucified him, right? What did those lost Romans do to Christ? They crucified him. Verse 15, that phrase graphically portrays the unbelievers. And not just unbelievers, but participants in the death of Jesus. In 7:14, all the way back, chapter 7, verse 14, the book of Revelation. You're more welcome to turn there if you'd like. But in chapter 7:14, one of the 24 elders said to John, he said, "These," referring to the tribulation martyrs of 7:9, he said, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Well, if we ask kind of a rhetorical question, What do we know about soiled clothes, dirty clothes in the Bible? Well, soiled clothes represent what? It represents sinfulness, doesn't it? Soiled clothes, right? In Isaiah chapter 64, 6, it represents sinfulness. In Zechariah 3, 3, soiled clothes represent sinfulness. Whereas in Psalm 51, 7, Isaiah 1, 18, and Titus 3, 5, it speaks in regard of soiled clothes being cleansed of sin. Praise the Lord, amen, right? We can have our sins washed away from us. That is what accompanies salvation. Our sins are washed away. Or more specifically, the penalty of our sins have been washed away. Well, how are those soiled clothes made clean? How are those soiled clothes made spotless? How do they become white? Well, Vince was sharing about it as he was sharing his testimony, or Terry's testimony, all the way from Ukraine. They become white by the paradoxical cleansing that comes by the blood of Christ. And friend, don't ever, ever let somebody try to take the blood of Christ out of your Bible. Don't ever let that happen. Don't ever, ever, ever let that happen. It would take you days with an X-Acto knife to go trimming out all of the verses throughout the Word of God that talk about the blood of Christ. We are cleansed by His blood. That's just the way it is. Those who have experienced the washing from sin that marks salvation will forever have the right to the tree of life. Now, for review, make sure you were paying attention back then. Where in the world is the tree of life located? Huh? Well, that's about a good third grade answer, brother. In heaven. Yeah, well, you can't go wrong with that. You ask a question, they say Jesus. Jesus, that's a good answer. No. No, that's good, Brother Jeremiah, but we got to get a little tighter than that. It is in heaven, but it's going to be in a very specific part of heaven. It's going to be in the New Jerusalem. Amen? It's going to be in the New Jerusalem. The tree of life is located in the capital city of heaven. Amen? The New Jerusalem, per Revelation 22:2, in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Amen. Do you remember that? Amen. Back on the same page? So this tree of life is the fulfillment of Jesus' what? Well, of His promise from the very beginning of the book. If I've said it once in 28 years of preaching, I've said it a whole bunch of times, Jesus don't lie, and He keeps His word. Amen. If He tells you He's going to do something, friend, look out, it's going to get done. Amen. You can take that one to the bank, right? Revelation 2:7 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And here we are at the very end, and that's what's going on. Those granted access to the tree of life, those granted access to the tree of life will be allowed to enter by the gates into the city per Revelation 21:9. So what are we talking about? We're talking about that second motivation for salvation, and that's the exclusivity of heaven. Heaven is exclusively for those who have been cleansed from their sins by faith in the blood of Christ and whose names have been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Revelation 13:8. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people bebopping around out in that world there today and thinking because they gave to United Way and they bought a sack of food there at the Kroger's for people that need food, and that they pay their taxes, and that they don't cheat on their spouse, and that they, you know, give a full day's work, and that they're pretty good folk. They think they're going to make it up in here because God's going to look at my life and say, well, you know, you're a pretty good guy. You're a pretty good gal. But that ain't what the Bible says. Bible says our works are like filthy rags, right? Yeah. So there's got to be a blood connection. There's got to be a transaction. There's got to be a redemption. There's got to be an invitation. There's got to be a choice. There's got to be a salvation. There's got to be a receiving. Does that make sense? It's an exclusive place. Are you feeling it tonight? The exclusivity of it? Amen? In contrast, everyone else will remain forever outside the New Jerusalem. In the lake of fire, per Revelation 20, verse 15, and 21, verse 8. And why? Why? Begs the question, why? Because it says in 21:27, nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21:27. In 22:15 and in 21:8, we have a representative. What's 21:8? Let's just go back and look at that right quick. 21:8 says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then let's compare that with 22:15. Outside of the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. So in 22:15, as in 21:8, we have a representative, though not exclusive, list of the type of sins that exclude people from heaven given to John. Now, I'll end it right here. The inclusion of dogs on the list seems puzzling at first glance, but if you're a cat lover or a cat owner, it's not confusing at all. Cats make it, dogs don't. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The inclusion of dogs on the list, I just couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. Yeah, the dog owners are going to start bristling up here in a minute. The inclusion of dogs on the list seems puzzling at first glance, but you got to understand, in ancient times, dogs had not been what? They'd not been domesticated yet. Yeah. They were not household pets. Cats were in Egypt by this time, but dogs were not. They were despised scavengers that milled about cities' garbage dumps and fed on the corpses of dead people. That's what the poor old doggos had to do back in the day. So, we'll leave it there. Because of the exclusivity of heaven and because of the person of Christ. Amen? The great gracious motivator gives incentives to his gospel call. He doesn't just say, come to me blind. He says, man, you come to me. There's a whole lot to that. There's a whole lot to it. Amen? God's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, and a home beyond this one, across the shore, across the river, on the other side, outside of time and in eternity. Amen, church? Amen. All right, online folks, we're going to pray it out, and we'll see you back on Wednesday night. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Lord, thank you that we can laugh a little bit as we go through this, and we praise you for loving us and for saving us, Lord. And God, you know who's out there that needs a gospel seed, needs an invitation to be saved, needs an invitation to a church, Lord, to a good Bible-preaching church, Jesus-loving church. You know, Lord, help us intersect with those people, and help us know when to speak, Lord, when to listen, when to be bold, when to be kind. Lord, help us in those endeavors as we seek to sow your gospel seed in the hearts and lives of people that are outside these four walls. Thank you for bringing us together again tonight, Lord, and we pray you just give us safety as we depart this place. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Thank you all.